double long class next week?
No.
Now we are still in cheerful chat of the children of God. Now let's see who we have talked about so far. We have talked about Loud Loretta and Sarah Sweetvoice. We have talked about Rude Ronnie and Paul Polite. We have talked about Selfish Sydney and Good-Hearted Gus. We have talked about Whiny Wayne and Cheerful Chad, and we will never forget about Whiny Wayne. We have talked about Hoggy Herman and Patty Please. And you know what we're talking about today? Charlie Chatterbox and Lou Listener. Okay, are you ready? Now watch me. I have a friend named Charlie. He's quite a chatterbox. No matter where or when we meet, this windbag always talks. Charlie never gives his friends a chance to answer back. So everyone must listen to his yakety yak yak yak. Of course, we know why Charlie's friend would like to skitter scatter, for no one has the patience for his endless chitter chatter. Now let's listen about Lou Listener. I know that Jesus listens when I talk to him in prayer. He is my very dearest friend. For me, he'll always care. I also know a boy named Lou. He doesn't interrupt. He's always very kind to me, not snippy or abrupt. He listens very carefully to what I have to say, while looking straight at me and not distractions far away. I'm glad God gave me such a friend who lives just down the block. 'Cause Lou will always listen when I want to sit and talk. Now, if you had a friend that was always talking and never ever listened to anything that you had to say, do you think that that friend cared much about you?
No.
Who would it seem like they cared more about? James. Who do you think? If they talked about, yes. That's right. That's exactly right. Now, if you had someone that listened to you ever so carefully and let you talk and tell them about all those things that bothered you, do you think that would be a person that cared for you? A person that listened about everything that you were sad about? I think, too, it would show that that person really cared about you. Now, we know that when we pray, that God hears us when we pray and that he cares about us. And that's the way he wants us to be for other people. He wants us to show that we care about other people too. So who do you think the Lord wants us to be? Do you think the Lord wants us to be like a Lou Listener or a Charlie Chatterbox? That's right. I think he wants us to be like Lou Listener. Now listen to these words from Proverbs, chapter 20. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made them both. Now listen to what that means. The hearing ear, that means we're to be listeners. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, we're supposed to watch, okay? And we're supposed to understand what's going on. The Lord has made them both. So let's bow our heads and pray. Well, Father God, we thank you that you listen to our prayers. And that we know that we can always talk to you and that you hear and that you help us. And we pray that we would be the children that you want us to be and that we would be good listeners. And that we wouldn't always be filling up time with us talking, but that we would listen to our friends and listen to our moms and dads and our nannies and our pop-ups so that it would show that we really care about them just the way you care for us. And we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, there are your goodies back there. And who's got junior church today? Oh, you do. Mrs. Heck has junior church today. There was a really famous agnostic by the name of Robert Ingersoll. And when he died, on his funeral program, written in very bold capital letters, were these instructions. There will be no singing. He must have been cranky and dead as in life. But in honesty, when someone
that's described in Scripture. Psalm 116 teaches, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, no eye has seen, or ear has heard, or mind conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. Now, a lot of us read Max Lucado books. He's a great Christian writer of our time. And he puts it so well, and he says, God has been known to plan a celebration in the midst of a sad day. I just love that. God has been known to plan a celebration in the midst of a cemetery. God appears, we know, in the strangest places, and he does the strangest things. Jesus calls out names in a cemetery, and it's a cause of great hope for we as Christian people. In the book of Revelation, both chapters 4 and 5, Jesus is revealing to the disciple John the continuous, perfect worship that is taking place in heaven. Now, I've told you this before, that if you're a person that doesn't like to go to church, if you're a person whose spouse drags you here, or a kid who, you know, mom and dad makes you come to church, I have some really, really bad news for you. And the bad news is this. Heaven is church 24/7. Worship 24/7. That's what heaven's all about. Now, this amazing picture that Revelation gives us of God's throne and God's rule above the pain and the chaos of this world is given to us by John so that the followers of Jesus, who are still alive, the saints here on earth, have a sense of the eternal security that is ours in Jesus Christ. Now, you remember, we sing a hymn all about this, and we sing it well, too. It's called Blessed Assurance. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of his spirit, washed in his blood. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. We sing that, and we believe that in our hearts, or at least we should. The highest act of worship is when we tell God that he alone is worthy of the three things that human beings value the most. And those three things are glory, honor, and power. When we worship, we give God Almighty glory, honor, and power. In a nutshell, when we worship, we are telling God out loud in front of everyone so we can't take it back that he alone is worthy of all. You know, a praising and worshiping saint is a victorious saint. The Bible clearly teaches that when history ends here on earth, and it will, only praise and worship will continue in eternity. In Psalm 22:3, we read, God inhabits the praise of his people. Now, when it's really important for us, as it is some Sundays, to remember our connection to the historic church down through the centuries, we share the words of the Apostles' Creed. Now, we know that the Scripture tells us that we should think on our feet in places of worship, and that change should be something that we are good with to grasp those people that are out there to bring them into the kingdom. But there are some days where it's important to remember our roots. Today is one of those days. And on those days when we recite the Apostles' Creed, we say we believe in the communion of saints. Now, that's not just the saints who are sitting in this sanctuary. That is the saints down through the ages. And we join our voices with those who for hundreds of years have said those very same words. And down through the centuries, we are connected. You know, today in our praise hymn that we 12:1 says that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. And that's what All Saints' Day is about. This is the day when we give thanks for not only all those who have belonged to God, and I'm not talking plaster statues of saints that had supernatural lives. That's not what a saint is. A saint is a regular man or woman, a flesh and blood person who by the grace of Jesus Christ came through the muck of humanity and persevered in their devotion to Jesus Christ. So who are the saints? The saints of God are those people, living and dead, who have inspired us to follow after the Savior. Their devotion to God is like a lighthouse beacon in a stormy sea. And the saints are those who live lives of inspiration, and they leave a legacy for us to follow. The saints remind us that life in Christ is possible for people just like us, who are living on earth just right now. In other words, we are to be the saints, blood-bought believers who inspire people to follow Jesus. Now this morning I want to share three reasons why this message of All Saints Day is so important to us today. And the first one is that All Saints Day encourages us not to give up. Now, I don't know if you read the paper, and I don't know if you watch TV, but if you do very much, you are a depressed person. You are very sad, because you know what? Okay, we're circling the drain. But All Saints Day reminds us that we should not give up, because we have an eternal rooting section on our side. There was a magazine article a few years ago, it hasn't been that long actually, and it told about a burial casket company that has started to make caskets, not Kenya, with school colors on it. So they have the school colors of the University of Tennessee, Alabama, Auburn, and Georgia. I don't know if they got it anymore, they're lying. The caskets are advertised as follows. College caskets put fans into eternal rooting sections. We are so sleazy when we market stuff, aren't we? I'm thinking I want a casket that says return to sender. But this says, you know, it seems like these southern, you know, Tennessee, Alabama, Auburn, Georgia, you know, it seems to me like the people take their football really seriously in those places. The company owner, a man by the name of Ken Abercrombie, says, the reception has been great so far. Isn't that special? Well, the saints of God are people who took and take their faith in God really seriously. And their lives are witnesses for what they lived for and what some died for. Now, John was writing from the Isle of Patmos, and he was actually talking about an eternal rooting section. But it doesn't have a thing in the world to do with sports teams and caskets. It has everything to do with faith and commitment. And John writes his letter, we forget. John is writing this letter to people who are just so discouraged. They are used up, and they are burnt out, and they are beat up, and they are ready to give up. And he writes this letter to tell them to keep on, to be encouraged, that they're going to make it. And he writes to tell them that the outcome of the world is certain because they are not alone. There is a whole host, a great hall of fame, from Abraham to the present moment, who are cheering them on from heaven. And so he encourages them, don't give up. Now, secondly, we don't want to be overwhelmed what seems like overwhelming odds, because it does seem like the little guy is getting chewed up by the big guy these days. So Dr. Donald English was, he was a famous Methodist, he lives in England. And he wrote this story, actually, that I read about a chain of stores in England named Lewis. Now, I've never been to England, and, you know, John probably will never take me to England, but that's between us and God, so okay. But if you've been to England, as many of you have, maybe you know this place. But anyway, apparently, It's one of the largest chains in England. And the Lewis firm in Birmingham, they wanted to expand their property, but the path, in their path where they wanted to expand, there was a little Quaker meeting house there. So the board of directors sent a letter to this friend society. This is what the Methodist pastor is writing about. And the letter wrote, said, "Dear sirs, we wish to expand our property. Your little meeting house is right in the way. We are so determined to expand that we are willing to pay whatever price you want for your building so that we may demolish and expand. Yours faithfully." Well, they received a letter in return, and this is what the letter in return read. "Dear sirs, we noticed the intention of Lewis's to expand, and we noticed your willingness to buy our building at a price we name. But we wish you respectfully to know that we have been on this spot longer than you have been on yours, that we are determined to stay where we are. And if it would help you, we are willing to buy Lewis's at any price you name." And it was signed Cadbury. Now, if you don't know that, Cadbury is the largest maker of chocolate in England. And he happens to belong to that little Quaker meeting house. And Dr. English, who is this famous Methodist in England, he made this point in his writing that if you look at an overwhelming enemy, if you look at an overwhelming foe like Lewis's, and you look at this little Quaker meeting house, you probably figure that the big guy is going to win and that the little guy is not going to win the battle. But you see, the winner wasn't determined by the size of the building. The winner was determined by who signed the letter. And he concluded, "We may look at the world, and as Christians, we may feel greatly overwhelmed. But the thing to remember is that it is our Lord who signs the letters." You see, in Rome, it wasn't popular to be a Christian. The Caesars were considered gods, and they demanded to be worshipped. Now, I don't know if you hear this, and maybe you hear it from your adult children, and I know I hear it all the time. "Well, you know, Pastor Sonny, it's not easy being a Christian." I hear that all the time. You know, "It's not easy being a Christian." Well, guess what? It was never easy being a Christian. And you know, we need to realize that. It wasn't so easy for those who were getting burned and tortured either, so maybe we need to just suck it up a little bit. The catacombs and the gladiator pits in Rome remind us that they killed Christians back then. And those people were not lamenting about how difficult it was for them to live their Christian faith. But the deaths of Christian martyrs, you know, they were the foundation of a revolution that ultimately overtook the Roman Empire. And that's the same revolution that's going on today. Now, do you remember a short time back in history? And it was like our contemporary history, and it was happening right before our eyes. I think it was 20 years ago. I'm not sure. I kind of like heard this out of the corner of my head this week. But do you remember about 20 years ago when we saw the pictures of the East Germans who were dancing on top of the Berlin Wall? Do you remember that when the Berlin Wall fell? I think it's about 20 years ago. And we saw pictures on the news that East Germans were dancing on top of the Berlin Wall. Now, we did not know those people personally. And we were separated by miles, and we were separated by culture, and we're separated by language. But do you remember all those years ago, weren't you happy for those people? Weren't you happy for those East Germans who were dancing on top of that wall? And somehow we knew that it was good for us in Lewistown Valley to have freedom prevail in Germany. We somehow knew that was good for us, to have freedom prevail in Germany. Well, that serves to remind us of another joyful celebration. when the souls of the redeemed are forever in the presence of God. Because we need to remember it is God who signs the letter, no one else. Don't be overwhelmed by the world. Don't be overwhelmed with what looks like overwhelming odds. Now, thirdly, we remember on All Saints Day that we're on the winning side, and I need to be reminded of this pretty frequently. You know, after that wall fell, communism started to fall in country after country in Eastern Europe. And the news reported that after the communist government fell in Czechoslovakia, you'll have to talk to the young kids because they have never known a country by that name. When communism fell in Czechoslovakia, a small church in Prague put a huge sign on the front of their church building, and it said, "The Lamb wins." You know, a few years ago, there was a radio station that was describing play-by-play action. It was a football game in the Seattle Kingdom. And it was between the Seattle Seahawks and the New Orleans Saints. It was late in the fourth quarter, and it looked like the Seahawks were going to win. But the Saints had one more chance. It was their ball. They got a few first downs. And the announcer said, "The Saints are marching down the field. The Saints are playing together. It looks like the Saints are going to win in the kingdom." That's the message for this first Sunday in November. The Lamb wins. The Saints are going to win in the kingdom. You know, we are not, as Christian people, like Robert Ingersoll and other atheists and agnostics. Now, we believers in Jesus love to sing. And we sing even at funerals. And we boldly sing, crowd.